And it's 8:34 here on K1AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Happy Friday to you. It's time now for a community connection sponsored by AVA Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and Tallgrass Motors. Joining us this morning is Commissioner Mitch Antle. How are you doing, Mitch?
I'm doing well, Garrett.
It's nice to see you this morning, and of course, I cover your meetings extensively on Monday. It's always a good time to see that, but I'm happy to see you for two times in one week.
Well, I appreciate that greatly. We love the opportunity to come on and visit on the radio just to get information out to the public.
And we were kind of talking before we came on this morning about county roads, and of course, it was pretty cold this week with the temperatures being around 0 to negative 5 degrees with the polar vortex moving in. How are those roads coming along for you guys?
We actually have been spending a lot of time on our rock roads lately, just to get those brought back up to speed after all the moisture that we've had. So we've just about got those closed out. We're still working through potholes. That seems to be a pretty consistent theme through each of the three districts as we discuss on Monday mornings.
And you were talking about some roofing at the PSO building. How's that going with you guys too?
Our administrative offices, we noticed probably within the last five or six years that there's been some pretty serious degradation on that roofing. So it was time for us to take some action on it and get a new roof put on. I'd say it's probably about halfway complete. Again, that's very weather dependent. You want to get a good application on it. So there's certain conditions that have to be met to have the roofers up there working. They've been able to work it in sections and keep us dry.
Yeah, and when did you guys notice that that kind of needed some work?
Oh, I don't remember the specific date, but leaks in roofing are always fun because, you know, it comes in and it goes where it wants to go, and it may present someplace else apart from the leak. So once you get to that point and you're putting down, you know, several little fixes, it's time to take some action and get that taken care of, maintain the integrity of the public's building.
Do you think some of that work will take place this weekend? I know you guys have had some work at your commissioner's building on that roof, and the weather has been nice on the weekends for some reason of all the time. So do you think any work will be done this weekend?
It's quite possible. They do work according to the weather. So if they've got opportunity to get up there and get a section accomplished, they'll do it.
So what else is happening around the county that people should know about?
Our standard road projects, we've got a couple of large projects moving. I know Commissioner Dunlap down in District 3 is working on a couple of bridge projects. He's rerouted one specific bridge so that he could get traffic moving around an area where another bridge will be built. Commissioner Bouvier is working on a section of Bison Road. It's been pushed off a little bit because of some of the legislative sweeps that took place over the last several years. So we're hoping to get that underway and constructed probably in the either late 2019 or early 2020 time frame as far as letting it for construction. I'm working through my Deer Creek project, which is a large project, 3 miles and two bridge structures. So that's, again, that's the people that notice those most are the people that live there. And that's, you know, it's hard for them to deal with during, especially wet times, when you've got a road completely torn out and you're raising it up 14, 15 inches. At least you're digging down that far to get to your base and reset that base and then bringing it back up to that level. So there's quite a bit of, you know, it's muddy, mucky mess when you've got all this rain going on. Our contractors have been working as hard as they can to keep that passable at all times, because safety is our biggest concern when we're doing those things. Make sure the residents can get in and out.
Okay, and we were kind of talking about this beforehand too. A lot of legislation for the county could take effect soon, and some of that had to do with county roads as well, right?
Absolutely. I spoke of those legislative sweeps a little bit ago. I think we've got a couple of mechanisms in place that may return some of that funding to the county road and bridge improvement fund. So we'll hope and cross our fingers for that and work with our delegation of legislators as we move through the process again this year. They're overwhelmed at this point in time. You know, they'll move into session, I believe, here shortly. So when that happens, they're staring down the barrel of several thousand pieces of legislation. That'll obviously whittle down over time and down into the hundreds that are actionable. But it's always interesting to me to see that big list at the beginning of the session, and then how it whittles down and drops off.
What is some of that legislation right now that you're really kind of keeping your eye out as we move throughout this new month of February?
We've got several pieces that affect county government. I believe the last list I looked through had about 147 pieces that we're kind of monitoring. Some of them, there's been mention of county home rule. There's been mention of some of the medical marijuana issues, dealing with that on a county-by-county basis. There's been some caps that we're looking at having removed on some of that funding for the county roads and bridges. But really nothing is red flagged at this point. There'll be some things we'll have to adjust our policy locally to adhere to state law. So it just depends on what hits and what takes off. And that's really why you want to stay engaged in that legislative process with your legislators. We've got Judge Strom in 10 and Mr. Fincher in 11. And then, of course, Senator Daniels handling that district. So there's our local legislative contingent that we all have good working relationships and have that point of contact. And I would encourage the community to embrace that relationship with your legislator if you've got something specific you want to see in law or changed in law.
Okay.
I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break here on this Community Connection. It's 8:41. Again, this Community Connection is brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and Tallgrass Motors. We'll be right back with more from Mitch Antle.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And we're back here on a Community Connection on this Friday morning. It's 8:42. Again, with me is Mitch. And Mitch, we've kind of covered this a little bit as the weeks have progressed this year. And I think we covered it a little bit in 2018 at the end of it in fall before it became winter in December. The buildings between the judicial building and your administration building are going to be coming down probably before too long, correct?
That's the plan. It's kind of been a long time in the coming. But I do not believe there's been any official action taken on behalf of the Building Commission to this point. I believe that's their intent, but I don't want to speak too much as to their intent because that's not necessarily something that I've been engaged in. Commissioner Dunlap typically handles a lot of our construction type endeavors, so he's been focused there and has been working with the Building Commission to come to some resolution. Potentially that group may dissolve. We're historically one of those grandfathered, and we've had this building commission in place for a long time, and there's mixed opinions. Of course, everything we do has mixed opinions. But as it sits now, I believe that's the intent, is to demolish those structures between the admin building and the courthouse. We plan to do that with our own labor pool, so as to save some money. We'll have a pretty healthy bill at the dump, but otherwise, I think we'll be able to accomplish that endeavor pretty efficiently.
Yeah, and I was kind of remembering what Dunlap had told me back in November, whenever it was he told me about it when we covered the story first. He was saying it could cost anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000. But, of course, as you said, you have some equipment on hand that you can use to kind of cut that cost down a little bit.
Absolutely. Our road crews are proficient in the operation of that heavy machinery. We've got a couple of little areas we've looked at and tried to figure out how we're going to make that separation, and then we'll be able to take that down and remove the debris and get that out of the way, and hopefully we'll see some interesting things come as a result of that. Just kind of anxious to see what happens.
And Dunlap was kind of mentioning there was an asbestos report that had happened out of a from a Tulsa-based company, and that kind of cleared you guys to kind of make way to have this happen, and that you guys plan on meeting at some point in late February. But going back to the equipment thing, there's not a whole lot to do in the county right now, considering how cold it is and how wet it's kind of been, as you've mentioned. But you do have the equipment, like you said, that you need to keep up with. How are those checks going on the equipment?
Obviously, that's one of our key focal points. There's, you know, these men and women that are on these road crews are out there operating this equipment with regularity. So maintenance is huge and paramount. This is one of those times of the year where we can really kind of focus on some of those maintenance issues to ensure that our equipment's as operational as it can be. With safety, again, being paramount in all that we do, you want to be able to equip those that are doing those jobs as best you can. So that's again another one of our focal points over the winter months is that maintenance. We've got a recently installed lift that we paid for with some waste metal in our shop, and District 3, I believe, is going to be putting one in at some point in the near term. It really helps your mechanics on staff be able to handle those smaller trucks a lot more efficiently instead of crawling around underneath of them. So those are, again, just examples of safety and equipment. We installed a waste oil heater in our shop building last year, again paid for with some scrapping endeavors from road materials. So we've been using that. It's really saved us substantially on our gas bill. We've also put in, as a result of that, we collect waste oil. Recently, our fairgrounds manager, Jason Mantooth, pointed out that it'd be great to have a local repository there. So we worked with him in getting that set up. So waste oil in the Dewey area, you know, if anybody's changing the oil on tractors or cars or things of that nature, we've got a drum there that they can go drop it into, and then we come and pick it up when that gets full. So we always have a supply of waste oil to use in our heater.
What else is kind of going on in the county? Maybe with the roads again, maybe you mentioned something about that.
Well, those road projects, they seem to be a lot of our focus. We've kind of branched out a little bit with some of our road projects in that regional kind of concept. Collaboration is huge now. Everybody wants to know what's going on. And a lot of times, road projects don't seem logical. You know, you've got this little segment here that you're taking care of, and then 2 years later, this other little segment. So in looking at phasing concepts in, not just locally is it difficult, but regionally it's difficult. So when you're putting a road together or a road project together, we've seen, for example, in this community, the Highway 60 project. Ultimately, that Highway 60 project's moving from Interstate 35 all the way over to the Missouri state line. So those counties that we operate together with in that circuit engineering district have engaged through our local Council of Government Grand Gateway Economic Development Association in developing a regional transportation planning organization. That's a larger model than a standard municipal planning organization or an MPO. But what that gives us the ability to do is look at what these projects are going to do regionally, and then tying those projects together so that they're logical and they make sense. It's a lot longer plan, or at least foresight, and then you want to revisit that every 5 years. So we're in a cycle right now with six other counties where we've gotten three of us done. We're working on two more plans. We'll have two in the year after that, and then our plan will be revisited. So we do that just as a continual process, and that opens up some additional federal dollars to us.
Okay. And we got about 4 minutes here or so, but I just wanted to ask you a little bit too. You were kind of one of the first people to inform me about the Highway 123 bridge over here, just north of town. As you're leaving Bartlesville going towards Dewey, what are your thoughts on that and the implications of that bridge?
It's a massive project. From typical road projects, the way they start out and lay out, usually involve at some point in time a NEPA process, and that process simply lays out what are the implications, what's the history here, what are some of the things that we need to be aware of before we just come in and bulldoze something and start over. There's birds and bats and beetles and other bugs, and there's historical implications, because a lot of this stuff we have around here can date back to WPA type structures. So those kind of things in larger projects are looked at really heavily. Of course, you've got floodplain implication there as well. So it's all a matter of how those things work and operate effectively together. And that's all part of the process. That's why these things sometimes are very lengthy. The Deer Creek project that I'm working on over by Oilfield Pipe and Supply in Dewey, that's been 10 or 12 years in the making. So it's strange to me to come in, and that was an inherited project. I didn't program that project, but to follow those projects through, the Cherokee Bridge is no different. Luckily, ODOT has identified another bridge north of there on 123. So while that bridge is being constructed, they'll replace that secondary bridge as well. And we'll see a lesser impact as a community. While we've got this closed, we're going to work on everything all together. That was probably the best point I took away from the public meeting that we had, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe longer.
Yeah, it was about middle of December when that meeting happened, I think. But yeah,
I'll have to take your word for it. I just wait on my phone to beep and I go someplace.
Time just kind of gets away from us, doesn't it?
It does.
We kind of mentioned this morning in our conversations. Well, I think that's going to do it for Community Connection. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Garrett, again, we appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here again. And it's 8:52. This Community Connection was brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and Tallgrass Motors.
Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, "My dear brothers, take note of this.